Join me, please, this morning in the book of Hosea, chapter 2. We're going to read just the first five verses of this particular passage of Scripture as we contemplate a Father's Day message. Very sad occasion that we see here in this particular passage. May I set the scene, please? Hosea is having a family meeting. One of the children, Jezreel, is not mentioned here, though I think he was probably present at this particular meeting. But he gathers his three children around him and he begins to speak to them and ask them to do something. He tells them that he wants them to go find their mother. The mom has been gone for some time. Perhaps at this particular time, all of them are now in their either preteen or teenage years. The mother has been gone for a while, and he implores them. He says to them, I want you to go and I want you to find your mother, and I want you to see if she'll come home. I want you to go and I want you to plead with her. And so he speaks to his children in very, I'm sure, hushed tones, quiet meeting, and very sad and perhaps even surreal that he would have to do this. She had rejected all of his pleas to come home. And so now he implores his children, I want you to go and look for your mom. Can you imagine a father having to ask this of his children? I think that's probably one of the saddest things that I can imagine, and probably one of the saddest points in the Scripture where a dad has to bring his children in and say, I want you to go and find your mom. And I want you to beg her, plead with her, that she'll come home. Let's read these first five verses here. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her side and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless this passage of Scripture to our hearts this morning as we consider a Father's Day message from these few verses of Scripture from Hosea chapter 2. Lord, I pray that we might have ears to hear. We pray, dear Lord, that we might see the great Father love that you have for us, a love that reaches beyond our sin, and a love that sent your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree, that all lost sinners upon this earth might have forgiveness of sin. We ask, dear Father, that we might capture a glimpse of that wonderful and great love this morning. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to see here in verse 1 something very interesting. We learned in the previous chapter that the last two children were named Lo-Ami and Lo-Ruhamah. Do you see something missing in verse 1? The Lo, the prefix name, is missing. As he speaks to these two children by name, he leaves off the not my. That's what lo means in the Hebrew. Not mine. As we said, if you take these particular words are in the plural, ami and ruhamah. If you take them in the singular, ami would mean not my child. But he leaves that off and he calls them by the latter part of their name, which would be my child, or pitied of their father for ruhamah. And so not pitied becomes pitied, and not my child becomes my child here in this verse of Scripture. Now, Hosea here is making a very personal point. It's very important for us to see this. Could you imagine every time that you called your children by name, Lo-Ami and Lo-Ruhamah, that you were communicating the fact that they were not your children? Every time you said their name, you know how difficult that would be? Every time you said their name, Lo-Ami, come. Not my child, come. Lo-Ruhamah, Not pitied of her father, you come. But we find here pictured Hosea and also pictured God speaking to Israel here. He drops the low. This is very significant. On Hosea's part, he is concerned for his children. Hosea loves these children. He is putting out of his mind the doubts as to whether he's the father or not, and he superimposes himself to these two children, and he says, Ami and Ruhamah. He says, I'm going to put that out of my mind. These are my children. These are my children. And pictured here also is God speaking to Israel, looking ahead into the future when He will say, Ami and Ruhamah. At this point in time, He brings this out in chapter 2, this is not my wife. She should love me. She should be at home, but she's gone away from me. She's prostituting herself. She's born other children. That's alluded to here in verse 1. Notice, please. Say ye unto your brethren and to your sisters. There were other boys and girls that had been born to Hosea's wife by other men. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to plead. I want you to plead with your mother to come home. Say unto your other brothers and sisters for her to come home to her husband. I'll love them too. That's what Hosea is saying. It's a beautiful picture here of adoption, and we're going to bring this out as we study this passage. But basically, Hosea is saying, you go tell them they can come home too. I'll love them and I'll be their father as well. You see the beautiful picture here? This is what God has said through His Son, Jesus Christ. I created all mankind. Every baby that's born is a creation of God. Amen? Every little precious baby. Last night I saw a mother out there, just had the baby last week, and she's out of the ballpark watching her next oldest child playing t-ball out here. Little teeny tiny baby, creation of God. But that baby's a sinner. And all of us are sinners apart from God. But God sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree, and through Jesus Christ, I can be adopted into the family of God. I can be removed from the devil's family, taken out of that situation, just like Gomer's children that were born by other men. Hosea says, I will take them out of their situation, and I will bring them into my home, and I will love them. God says, I will adopt you. I will bring you into my family. This is the picture here. God drops the prefix name, Lo, looking ahead to the future. And Hosea says that to his... He didn't have the heart. As a dad, he didn't have the heart to call them with the prefix saying, not my child, but rather he said, Ami and Ruhamah. I want you to go plead with your mother. This is theologically significant, folks. These few words here, looking to the future, where God would say to the children of Israel, you are my children. You are pitied of your father. Jeremiah 31, turn there with me, please, very quickly. This launches us into the future here. A beautiful picture is given to us. Jeremiah chapter 31. Notice verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. The new covenant. God says, I'm going to make Israel, I'm going to bring them back from their wayward journey. I'm going to take them away from their sinful past, and I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to write my law in their hearts, not just in their heads. Listen, that's what we desire for our children here, amen? That God's law would not just be in their heads, but will be in their heart. Jehovah said, I was a husband to Israel, and she ran away from me. She left me. And she followed after other lovers. But I still love her. And I'm going to bring her home. And I'm going to change her heart. And she's going to love me. Well, this is such a beautiful picture that's given to us here. Mrs. Pepperd shared a very moving account last Sunday night of her meeting her mom. Can you think of that? Meeting your mom, one that just adopted you. She said that when she went into the room, there was a lady that was playing the piano. And she made the comment, she said, wow, she has lots of freckles, you know. But that was her mom. I don't even know if you knew that at the time, did you? She just knew it was a lady playing the piano. And she would later find out that that was going to be her new mom. Can you imagine? And she said this, and this was striking, that when she got here, she learned something. She learned that she was being loved. It moved away from hereditary and genetics, and it moved into a whole new realm, the realm of love. Genetically, we're connected to the devil because of our sin nature. But Jesus Christ comes in and superimposes Himself upon us and conforms us to His image through salvation. And we're taken out of the devil's home and we're put into His home. And we know something that we never have known before. What is it? Love. Love. Who brings love into the home? The Father does. That's so pictured for us in Ephesians chapter 5, where the husband is commanded to love his wife, agape, and the wife is to love the husband, but not the same word. It's not agape, it's the word phileo. And by the way, both of those words are pictured in God. I'm working on a message related to Hosea from the book of John. There are three different occasions in the book of John where it talks about the phileo love of God for His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Not agape love, which He did have, but phileo, tender affection, emotional love that He had for His Son. We see this pictured here in Hosea. Ami, Ruhama, go find your mom. Go find your mom. I want you to see something here. As we move into these next verses, notice please in Hosea, you'll turn back with me there, chapter 2, verse 2, plead with your mother. Plead. Bookends. Plead with your mother. Plead. Now, I want to take you through the Hebrew here, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I'm depending upon others, but the Hebrew word is the word reeb. R-I-B, isn't that interesting? Rib, in English transliteration. But it's the word, it's a legal term. It comes from law. It means to plead a cause. It means to use persuasion to show the error of her ways and the need to return back to what she had before. Now notice please, who is going to go and plead with the mother? Who? Children. Isn't that interesting? Hosea used his children to go plead with her mother that she might go home. Now, folks, that's emotional. We can try to make it cut and dried. We can try to say, well, they're going to go reason with her. But know what? These are her kids that are going to plead, and Hosea sent them. And God is doing the very same thing. He's basically saying, I want you to plead, Hosea, with the children of Israel. I want you to plead with my wife that she'll come. That's why God sent prophets. They were His children, so to speak, to go and plead with Israel to come back to Jehovah. Now let me just say a little bit more about this word plead here. Let me just share some verses of how it's used in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal." You remember that story? Abigail, Nabal there, and how that Nabal had falsely accused David. He would not allow David's men to be fed. Nabal refused to assist and help David. And so what did God do? God went before His servant David, and He pleaded His cause, and He took Nabal away. And David said, "Lord, thank You for pleading my cause. Thank You for pleading my cause." Here's another picture from Psalm 35 and verse 1. "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me." Psalm 119 and verse 154. "Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to Thy word." Isaiah 3 and verse 13. "The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people." Are you seeing a picture of this word plea here? It's the word of the advocate. You know, when you're in a court of law, you want the best advocate you can find. You know, we've been having this case of the Kaylee Anthony case that's been on the news so much, and you know, I don't know that the attorneys that have that particular case, her defense counsel, can do much more than what they're doing. But you know what? When you have someone that goes to bat for you, an advocate, you want the very best, do you not? You want somebody that's going to know your cause and is going to plead that cause before others. And who else would know better the cause than Gomer's children? Their mama wasn't home at night. You kids, think about how nice it is when you get home from camp, or maybe you've been out with friends during the day and you come home and there's mom's face to greet you at the door. Isn't that special? I know it was special for me whenever I was growing up. Not everybody has that privilege. Some mothers pass away. Some mothers are situations that happen in life. But there's something special about a mother and a child. And here was Dad trying to raise these kids. And he says, "I want you to go and I want you to plead with your mom. You know what's going on, and I want you to go and I want you to tell her to come home. I want you to plead the case." Lamentations 3 and verse 58. "O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life." Picture that's given, the book of Lamentations, the five funeral dirges that are shared by Jeremiah the prophet. And he said, "The Lord has been the one that has pleaded our cause, and He hath redeemed my life." This word is also used with the idea of contend or to debate, but that's not the sense that's used here in this particular passage. Hosea is calling his children to make a very emotional appeal to their mother to reject her ways and come home. The reason for the plea is that she is not my wife and I am not her husband. In her mind, she had segregated herself. She had separated herself from her family, and now she's got this going on over here. She's acting as if she has no what? Husband. She's acting as if she has no husband. And the children are going to remind her that she does. She has a husband. She's married to him. And she needs to come back because her husband loves her. Again, the picture of Jehovah with Israel. Israel had gone her way. She had worshipped other idols, and she was acting as if she had no husband. There was no true God in her life. And God sent the prophets to Israel, just like Hosea was a prophet, to say, "Listen, God loves you, Israel. God wants the very best for you. Let's go home so that you can be with your husband." That's the picture that's given to us here. What the children share with their mother is not mere facts concerning her adulteries and her way of life, but the perspective of a child pleading with their mother to come home. I don't know anything more powerful than that. Do you? Of a child that comes to their parent wanting something? There's nothing more powerful than that. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 34, the Lord records for us there His plea for Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. Those are the ones He sent to bring her back, remember? And stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth her brood under her wings, and ye would not. That's how God desired for them to come back home. He said, I would like to be like a mother hen and just bring you all back underneath my wings so I can shield you and protect you. But you've left me. You've left the safe haven and you've gone out on your own. I wonder how many here are in that condition. Just doing your own thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't tell me how to live my life. I know how to live my life. No, you don't. No, you don't. The graveyards of America are full of people that tried to live their own life. I was watching a program last night, I believe it was on the Discovery Channel, of a young man whose life was completely destroyed because of one night of foolishness. He was driving his car. He had a sister in the car. There was one other girl that was in the car. He was driving 99 miles an hour down a dark road. Another teenage girl that they knew from the local high school pulled out. She didn't even stop. She was just pulling right out of her driveway, nighttime. Hit her driver's side, killed her instantly, killed his sister instantly on the impact. The girl that was in the back, she was also killed as well. He was the only one that survived. The whole town turned against him. His life has been turned. I mean, he can't find a job. The show went on to talk about how he eventually went back to meet with the mothers to try to work things out. And all of them were there having lost their girls in one night of foolishness. How sad. No reason to be driving 99 miles an hour, but it was just an attitude of, I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to drive fast, so I'm going to drive fast. And it ended up killing three people, his own sister included. Can you imagine having that on your conscience for the rest of your life? Let me tell you something, folks. You better go God's way. Young people, children here, you better come God's way. He's pleading with you this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you going to reject the pleas of God with your heart, or are you just going to keep on going your own way? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 through 12, listen carefully. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert place and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. In other words, the picture, that last phrase right there, don't miss this. There was no strange God with him, as a picture is that God was not like the idols that Israel worshipped. They were deaf and dumb and did not care because they were stone and wood. God is no strange God. He's a loving God. He's tender and He's compassionate. And He said, Israel was the apple of my eye, and like an eagle fluttereth over her young. And then whenever He stirreth up the nest to send the young ones out on their own, what does the eagle do? As they fall and they can't catch, the eagle swoops down underneath there and picks them back up and takes them back up to the nest again. That's what God said He did for Israel. What does Israel do? Israel just keeps on going her own way. God is no sterile one sitting off in the distance, having wound up the earth like the deists believed, and just let it spin till it stops. God calls the sinner to come to Him. God calls Israel to come to Him. Hosea called Gomer through his children to come back to Him. God is not emotionless as He reaches out in love to His unfaithful wife. God is engaged and He uses His children to tug at their mother's heartstrings. Mama, won't you come home? Mama, we miss you. Mama, could you come home tonight and tuck me in? I miss our good night times together. This is real life, folks. This was really what happened in Hosea's life. He sent his children to find Mama, and I'm sure that's what they said as they gathered around her when they found her. Mama, please come home. Don't stay out here one more night. Please come home. Daddy loves you. Are you getting the picture of God and His compassionate call to sinners? And God's compassionate call to Israel, won't you come back to me? I don't want you to be destroyed. That's what's going to happen. And in love, He shares with His children the things that would happen to her if she continued on her way. She would die if she continued on her way. But in love, He sent His children, I don't want her to die. I want her to come home. I want us to be a family again. And that is exactly what God desires for Israel. I want us to be a family, and that's what He's going to do. He's going to give them a new heart. And they're going to turn to Him whom they have pierced. And they're going to cry, Abba. By the way, Ami, the name, the first part of that is the cry of a child, Abba. Ami, ah, it's the abbreviation of what a child says when they're calling out to their father. How many of you dads remember the first time you heard Daddy or Dada? That's what we say in America, but in the Middle Eastern culture it was Ab. Ab, Abba. That was the cry of a child for the father. And that's what He desired, that Israel would come back to Him, the true father, the true husband, and follow after Him. It takes a cold and heartless mother to reject the pleas of a child. Isn't it interesting that the last days described by Paul in the book of Timothy, that says that in the last days that there will be women without natural affection, men and women without natural affection, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. That was a picture of Gomer. Hosea wanted her to leave that and come home. And so he sent his children. Hosea's pleading through his children and his passionate declaration of judgment to come shows his great love for his wife. Some people have said verse 2 is an indication that this was a prescription for divorce. It's not. It is a prescription for coming back together. It's a warning. It's a warning. Don't reject my love. If you reject my love, you will be destroyed. Return to me and I will save you. I will secure you. I will make you what you ought to be. Hosea married a girl who was a harlot. And even after they had been married for some time and had 3 children, she went back to prostitution. And she had a number of children. And all the while, this man, Hosea, loved her. The greatest sin in all the world is not murder, theft, or lying. You don't want to know what the greatest sin is? The greatest sin in the world is to be unfaithful to the one who loves you. That's the most horrendous sin. That's what God says over and over and over again concerning Israel. You've committed a great sin. You have committed a sin against my love. I have loved you with an everlasting love and you've walked away from it. That's the greatest sin. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Did you get that? Did you see that little phrase, in love? Oh, that's such an important phrase. The phrase in love is not connected with verse 4, the previous verse that I read, but actually with verse 5. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, to the Father, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, that we're treading on the mountaintop of love when we come to Ephesians. We are treading on the mountaintop of God's love. In eternity past, God planned the church. God planned Israel. God planned the whole of human history and how it would unfold. He did three things, we are told in these verses. He chose us. Do you have a problem with that? I don't. I'm thankful that He chose us in His Son. He chose us. The second thing that He did, the Father predestinated us to a place of sonship. That's all that means. What He determined was that lost sinners would be made sons. Not just redeemed from hell. You know, that's not enough for God's children. It's not enough just to be redeemed from hell, but to be made a son, to be made meet to live with God the Father forever and ever. But that's the glory, that's the good news. Not just to be delivered from hell. Some people say, I just want my ticket out of hell. You better want something more than that. You want to be made a son so you can live with Him for all eternity. The third thing that we see is that the Father loves us and thereby makes us acceptable in the Beloved. The great love of God. Men are not lost because they were not elected. They are lost because they are sinners. The free will of man is never violated because of the election of God. The lost man goes to hell because he chooses to go to hell. Election is simply God's choosing to love us in Christ. Don't get all bent out of shape about election, folks. It just simply means this, that God chose to love you in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So everyone is under the umbrella of His love. But the point is this, your free will, you can choose to reject that love. You can choose to walk away from it. You can choose to run from it if you want to. But you'll be committing the greatest sin you could ever commit. That's to run from love. Hosea gathered his children around and he said, listen, Ami, Ruhama, tender words, calling them not by their full name, but calling them by their beloved name. Ami and Ruhama. I want you three to go, and I want you to find your mother. And I want you to plead with her. Two times that word's used. Plead with her to come home. That's a loving father. Amen? That's a loving father that would say, I want you to go, and I want you to bring her home. And that's what God's doing at this very hour through His Son. He's pleading with you. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, He is pleading with you with all the love that He could give through His Son, Jesus Christ, with all the love that He could give through the revealed Word of God whereby we know about Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for your Bible this morning? It's the only way you'd have known. He's pleading with you. Come home. Come back to me. And he pleads with Israel. Come back. You've left me. I haven't left you. I'm still here. May God help us to see the tender heart of God the Father expressed through Hosea in his home situation to plead with you and with me this morning, if we're not saved, to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder this morning, I'm not going to give a long invitation, but I believe the Lord would have us to consider this morning the message. You will never know any greater love in this life than the love of God toward you. No love that you can have in this life between husband and wife will never match the love that God has shed abroad through Jesus Christ in our hearts. Boys and girls, teenagers, adults that are present here, God has loved you with an everlasting love in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you have a choice this morning. You can continue to run from that love. Oh, the world sits out there and says, oh, we love you. Come over here with us. But God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, unmatched by the world. Won't you come to Him this morning and get that matter settled? Don't keep running. Don't keep walking away every service from the truth that's given to you. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ on this Father's Day. Get it right. There's someone here, right where you are, cry out to God. Cry out to the Father who loves you, and you'll be adopted, and you'll be changed and transformed. You'll be taken from the household of Satan, and you'll be put in the household of God. Cry out to Him this morning before it's too late. That young lady that I told you about that pulled out of her driveway had no idea that as she was pulling into the road, it would be the last thing that she'd ever do. You're not guaranteed of a tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. But here's your opportunity to get things right with God. Our Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work. There are individuals here that need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They've had time and opportunity. The love of God is beyond any measure. We can't measure it. I pray that we might respond to that love this morning. We ask, dear Father, that Your Holy Spirit would do a work of grace in the hearts and lives of those that are here today. And we pray that You would help us as dads to be the right kind of dad. Can we be like Hosea? Do we have that kind of love for our wives to do whatever it takes to bring them home? We live in a day and age of the quick out. Have a problem, get out of it. But Lord, You've told us that we're to love as You love. Help us as dads to do what's right by our wives and by our children. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.